Welcome to today's episode. I'm here with Luxana, a singer and artist that I can ask some questions to. I'm Verena, and this is the Voices and Rhythms podcast. Let's go. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Well, let's pretend that we didn't talk for like an hour up there.
Yeah, right.
So my first question to you is, what is your favorite go-to karaoke song?
Well, I would say all the Adele songs. I'm really a fan of her. And yeah, any song of her would be fine.
Okay, nice. So you love to go all out with your voice.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I just love her and her songs. And
yes. Yeah. Okay, so I heard, someone told me you were a singer.
Yes, I am. I'm an opera singer, actually.
So cool. Very nice.
Yes. I studied in the US, in New York City. I graduated from there, from the Bachelor of Classical Music, opera singer. And yeah, here I am now in Vienna.
That's so nice. Well, I have so many questions to ask you, but so how did you come to New York City?
So basically, yeah, I started in, I'm from a small town, if small, right? Because it's not really small. in Mexico, it's called León, Guanajuato. And from there, I transitioned to Mexico City in the conservatory from there. And then I auditioned for Manhattan School of Music and I got in with this amazing teacher, Mignon Dunn, which is a really good mezzo-soprano. And yeah, so I did study there, finished my studies and came here after.
That is so cool. So how old were you when you went to Mexico City?
Oh, I think I was like 19. Or so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And before that, you took lessons in your town?
Yes, I took a couple of lessons, but actually my story is a little bit funny because I used to study also as an artist, a painter, and then I studied the music because nobody really in my family sings or anything. I'm the only weirdo that just decided, hey, I'm going to sing. And they were like, okay, what should we do?
So everybody's just busy painting. You're like, oh.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So then, yeah, I started singing a lot. And since I was a little girl, I sang everything in Disney, everything.
That's so cool. Nice. So you were also an artist from the beginning?
From the beginning. And then I switched later on.
Mm-hmm. So you also took artist lessons. Is it artist lessons? Do you take artist lessons?
Yeah, if that's how you say it. It's either that or your mom not knowing what to do with when you were little and just putting you into any just like lessons so she gets rid of
you. You're occupied, yeah.
Yeah. Just do something.
Go paint. Don't sing in my house, go paint.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So did you do painting as well while you were in Mexico City and then New York, or was it at that time just singing?
In Mexico City, I did some painting projects. I did some stages for some operas. I designed I did Cendrillon, which is Cinderella. And I did like the background and I painted like the, you know, the sets and everything. It was really fun. I really loved it. But right now I have more modern ideas on mind that I hope to put soon in my stage.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very nice. What kind of modern?
Well, I just have this crazy idea of putting like a huge head in the stage. And then just make it open. I just have some ideas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Nice. How do you remember them? How do you save them? Do you like draw them somewhere or do you write about them?
No,
or
it's
do you just keep
weird.
Them?
I keep them.
Really?
Yes.
I will forget about them.
And then I will just do it.
Damn. Wow. So nice. Okay. So then from New York City, you came to Vienna. How did you come here?
So a couple of summers ago, I sang an opera here.
Mm-hmm. And couple of summers. I love that. It's very
novel.
Novelly.
Yes. And I met some amazing teachers. I think that here in Vienna, You guys have incredible people, musicians that have really good knowledge of the music. And I do need some help with, especially like romanticism, classism, like all of these things, they need specific, how do you say, rules that you have to follow in order to sing, especially in the opera business. Really? So in here, there are many people that can help guide you through that music. And I think it's just amazing. Since the first time I came here, I thought it was great to have in every corner, you have music. Doesn't matter, but you have music. And I really like that since the beginning.
Okay, okay. But do we have a lot of classical music here?
Yes, like a lot. Much more than in my country, of course. A lot. Yes, in every corner.
Okay, so you have more possibilities to do classical music here.
Exactly.
Okay, okay. Nice. That's nice. So what would be a difference in singing Baroque or Romanticist?
A difference?
It's just different.
It's just very different. It's very hard. Like, it's the phrasing, the way you sing it. Like, in Romanticism, you have more freedom, if you can say. You can do, like, if you do one note, you can do, like, a glissando, which means you do, like that. Mm-hmm. But in, like, classical, like Mozart, you cannot do that. But you have to keep the legato, and you have to keep a lot of rules from Mozart.
Okay,
you have to follow. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. So, what was the first piece or opera you did in Vienna?
I did Le Nozze di Figaro. Ooh. Yes, it was really fun.
Nice.
I did Contessa. I used to be a sopran, but right now I'm a mezzo sopran, which means the vocal range is a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're just like, I'm singing lower now.
Yeah, exactly. I think I just did basically not because just I wanted to, but it was also because my instrument allowed it. So it means that my low voice it's strong enough to be heard from far.
Okay. True, because the higher voices are heard better, right? Or like higher tones than lower?
I mean, it depends how they're singing it. It depends on a lot of things, but usually high notes are louder, yes. So you have to have a lower voice to be able to be heard in the middle range, especially like for women.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So how about languages?
Languages, yeah.
Do you have to sing in German here or Italian?
Yes, I do sing in German, Italian, French, Spanish, Russian, like any language that the opera just gives.
Mm-hmm.
Because as an opera singer, you have to be able to sing in a lot of languages.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling the text and knowing what you're saying. So, I have to sing in.
But do you know all of those languages like very well, or do you just like see the text and then you look at the text, see what the meaning is?
No, actually, there is a thing called IPA, International Phonetic Alphabet, which is a specific alphabet that helps you understand the rules of the languages. Mm-hmm. So, if you're singing in English, it's the hardest one to sing in opera.
Really?
Yes, you have to follow certain rules. And if you're singing an American English or if you're singing a British English, then you have to follow these rules that this IPA language shows you. Also for the German, if you're singing this or that, you have this, it's like letters that you already know how to pronunciate it.
Mm-hmm. Is it like these upside down E and A stuff?
Exactly, yes. Okay. Yeah, these things. Or they put like dots on top or like marks on top. Mm-hmm. So you know, like nasal, like ah. You would do like this, like a curve, which means it's nasal. Like for example, in French, it would be ah. So
you can see any language there with this phonetic writing, and you're like, I know exactly how to pronounce it.
Exactly.
Wow.
Sort of that. Yes.
I always wondered how people like at opera, at the musical, do it. Yeah. Singing in another language.
Yeah, it's this with a lot of rules.
Yeah. Wow. So cool. Nice. So, and then, well, back to your art, like the painting art.
Yeah.
How are you doing it in Vienna? What are you working on here?
So right now, actually, this is going to be my first artistic show because I never really have done here in Vienna an art piece that I would love to do. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to show it. But I did in Mexico many times, in the US as well, as I already. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's my first. It will be my first one.
Nice. Really nice. Okay, so let me just see what I have here for you. Okay, would you take me through what, like, the creation process of an art piece, or like either like drawing, painting, or singing? Like, where do you start if you get something, you get an idea, or you get a piece to sing? Like, how do you start working on it, and then where do you go? When do you know that it's done?
I think that sometimes it works when your brain just shows an image and you have to do it. You feel like, oh, I have to do this. Like, I already have the inspiration. I have to do it. This time it was a little different because I had the emotion and I had to make that emotion be physical. So, because it's a really big emotion, I already know, and I'm thinking on how to do it on you know, like a sculpture. Mm-hmm. Because my idea is, I'm working on a sculpture right now, so, and put it together with the music. Mm-hmm. So I want to marry these two arts and be able to do a performance with this big emotion that I'm telling you.
Nice. Okay. Can I ask what emotion it is, or is that a secret?
No, it's okay. It's not. No, because usually the about death, talking about death and all of these, it's a strong thing that we all humans have to go through with our families, with a loved one. And when I was back in Mexico, I experienced some near-death experiences with family and also death experiences with other members of the family that were very, to just come to you and change your life completely. Mm-hmm. It's like you'd never know any second, like you could. Mm-hmm. But in Mexico, they have this idea of Día de Muertos. That is, they look at death as also something to celebrate. Like, you remember your loved one with colors. You remember your loved one with their favorite food, with making a party, with making these beautiful things in this day. So I really want to use this sadness and grief and all these feelings that you go through when you lose someone, and put it and do this transition into the colorful side, into their newborn. Because somehow when you lose someone, you also, a part of you dies as well, but then you're reborn as a different one, you see? So like kind of like a phoenix, or that's how I would explain it.
Oh, that's really beautiful. It's a very beautiful picture, because I think here it's mostly like, you're sad, you were black, you go to a funeral, you're just very unhappy, you're so sad, you cry, it's, you lost somebody. But looking at the good side and being happy that you were able to meet this person and to have this person in your life is so much better and so much more beautiful. And it is a cause to celebrate. Okay, cool. So you do take a lot of your culture as well into your art.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Is it the same with singing? Do you have like any way to bring your culture in, like something from Mexico maybe, into your art of singing?
Of course, yeah. There are many Spanish classical music that I do sing. Also, there are many popular songs that I sing as well, because this is what I love about music. Like, even when I hear an aria in German, sometimes I just don't understand anything. Or right now I understand some words, but you don't have to understand it to feel it.
Okay.
You already know what it's about.
Mm.
So yes, there are many music, like there's a lot of music in Spanish that also gives you this, like, you don't know what they're singing, but you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what I will try to do. <That's> hopefully.
So beautiful. Yeah. That's when you as a listener, you get goosebumps everywhere and you're like, wow, mm-hmm. I wish I was that. Very nice. Okay. So how do you cope with challenges or setbacks, or when you maybe hit a point where you don't know how do you go on from there and in your art?
That's a tough one. I had many of those. I think every artist has.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so intimate to put your feelings in your... For every artist, I think, or I don't know, maybe I'm talking for myself, but when you put your feelings in something and you put everything into one thing,
mm-hmm.
and then you receive, for example, when you sing to judges, no? They have to judge you. They have mm-hmm. to say, oh, she's singing good, she's singing bad. But you're giving something so personal. Sometimes it's so hard to receive criticism from people. So sometimes when you let these voices in, it's really hard to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And you have second thoughts and you're like, am I doing the right thing? Did I study the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
Should I have studied like design or something? And I have those thoughts a lot and I still have them sometimes. But there is nothing but art that can help you go through tough things mm-hmm. like what I told you. And be able to share it with people, it's something just unexplicable. Like mm-hmm. you cannot explain how when you open, it's like opening your chest and giving to the people mm-hmm. your heart. You can receive good and bad comments. Of course, the bad comments are going to be really heavy on you when you're in this area.
Mm-hmm.
But you can either take it as that or take it as I touched something in that person.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like it.
They didn't like it.
That's also cool, you know?
True. It triggered something that they didn't like. Exactly. Okay.
So I think working a lot in myself and being confident and start caring more about what I think about my things and not what other people, it's mm-hmm. been helping me just going through that path. Like, mm-hmm. this is my feelings and I give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like it or not, this is it. You know? So,
wow.
I don't know if it makes sense.
Oh, it does. I'm like, wow, this shows me so much about my life. No, that's so good. Just like keep the fire burning in you and continue to give
mm-hmm.
what makes you burn and what you love. And
exactly. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That was really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
So what would your typical day look like here in Vienna?
My day.
Yes. Do you have like a job you go to, or is it just painting and singing?
Well, for a start,
or both at the same time.
Both. I would say both. You have to sing every day. Doesn't matter, because it's like if you train for soccer,
mm-hmm.
you every day you have to go training, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for singing is kind of the same thing. You have to because it's a muscle. You have to keep on working. Mm-hmm. So every day you have to sing.
How many hours? Depends.
Because for singers, part of the studies is singing and mm-hmm. part of it is the pronunciation, the language,
mm.
the translation, the feeling, because mm-hmm. you cannot sing if you're not singing with feeling, because then nobody knows what you're doing. Mm. So I don't know if you're singing Mein Herz and you're not going to sing Mein Herz, like something stupid or like Du bist mein Lieb, I don't know. And then, but you have to really mean it
mm-hmm.
and people have to be able to feel this. So you have to work on that too.
Okay.
Everything. So that can be from 1 hour to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to a whole day.
Okay.
Depending. Yeah. So basically, I like to do sports as well, because being strong physically, it helps to be strong mentally, and at least in my case, and to be strong, also feel comfortable being there in the stage and feeling strong with you, with yourself, and comfortable. Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Okay.
And anxiety. It helps a lot.
With sports or with?
With the sports, yeah.
With sports or with singing. Okay.
Yes.
How is it being on stage? How is it? Are you nervous before it? Do you
definitely
feel it? Do you see people?
Definitely, you're nervous. The people that says that they're not nervous, they're lying.
Really?
I'm pretty sure they're lying, because every one of us always gets even a little bit nervous before going on stage.
Okay.
It's like being naked, because everybody's looking at you.
Okay.
So it's sort of like that.
Even if you did it for 30 years, are you still nervous?
Everybody, even the greatest singers in the world would say that I still get nervous.
Okay.
And that's what gives you the rush. That's what gives the emotion when you're singing, performing.
The adrenaline pumping through you.
Exactly.
Okay. Damn. But okay. So are you singing at your home, in your flat? Or are you going to like university with like a soundproofed wall where you let your heart out and sing?
Actually, I'm sorry, neighbors, but I do both. I do have a space where I sing, but I also sing in my home, so I'm sorry.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Is there a moment where you were like, okay, now I've made it. That was the most rewarding moment in your career so far?
Oh, yes. Yes, it's a moment, and it's beautiful. But you can. The sad thing is that you can count them, because it doesn't happen there often.
Really? Okay.
Yes, but when it happens, it's the moment when everything disappears, and this reality anymore. It's like when you're painting and you get lost in the painting. You just disappear. Okay. Just wanna keep painting. You're just doing it. Nothing matters but the painting and you. That's it.
Wow.
That's your reality in that moment. So that's also happens when you're singing and you're giving everything. In that moment, it could be something really beautiful.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very nice. So another thing I wanted to ask you is how much of like your personal style of singing flows into the songs you sing, or like into your performance?
My personal style? That's kind of complicated, because I used to be very emotional with my songs. When I sing popular music, I do still sing with that a lot of like emotion. But the thing with the opera is that you cannot put so much emotion with it, because then the instrument gets affected. Like if you're singing a really sad song and you feel like crying, you cannot cry, because then your throat closes.
Oh, okay.
So you do have to block yourself a little bit in some stuff. But I would say I like very kind of like chesty things. We put a lot of chest, because I like to put a lot of chest and like darkened. I don't think that's good in the opera, but at least popular, yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So it's easier to like get your personality into the pop things, and not really in the classical music.
I mean, both should be. In the opera, I still have to work a little bit through that, because I still have to, in the freedom that we do have, I want to put more my personality, and I'm still not at that point. But with the popular, you can just sing. And because you have the basics of the opera, it's even easier. So
nice. That's so interesting. Okay, cool. So about you already talked a little bit about the Vienna local art scene, singer scene, but like how do you experience it? Is it like open? Is it easy to get to know people, to grow into it?
Okay, well, I've already met some people. You do have to move to talk to people, send your CV, send your videos. For me, it's a little hard with the videos, especially having a because my voice is big, so you can't really hear. Not big as like it's like when you record it with a microphone, the overtones, you cannot hear them really. So it's hard for me to send my videos to people because they can't hear my true voice unless they hear it in person. So that has been a problem, definitely. Otherwise, the opportunities are more here. I do have to say that in my country, in Mexico, sadly, we do not have so many opportunities as here.
Nice. So do you always have to send a video of you first before they invite you in person? Or do you also sometimes just have to go there?
Mostly, yes. They would have to watch a video. And many times you would have to know someone that they know. So
someone who knows.
Yeah. Some people say 80% contacts, the rest is talent and study.
Okay. But you have kind of made name for yourself, or you met some people.
Some people, but not yet where I want to be in the opera, just the opera business. But I'm moving, and I'm moving more than where I was, and I'm getting more contacts. So things are going well.
Very, very nice. Very glad. Okay. Is there any lesson you've learned on your artistic journey, either like both artistic, like singing or painting, or something that you're like, well, I'm not doing that one again?
Well, sure. Like if I would talk to myself, I don't know, like 5 years ago or like some years ago, or any person that's starting with this, I would say, don't let the fear interfere in what you're doing. Because it's so easy to give space for fear when you're doing these kind of things, because you're so vulnerable. Every person that decides to go with the artistry, doesn't matter if it's singing or painting, it's about being brave, because you're putting everything out there for the other people to see.
And judge,
exactly. So just don't be afraid and put yourself there with all your heart. Just give it, and it doesn't matter whatever people say about it. Just keep doing your thing. Feel strong about it. Believe in you, because no one is going to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself first. So I would work on myself. If I knew this before, I would have worked 100% in me. Then if I'm singing this, I should sing. No. I should first start about believing in me and what I have, and my instrument, and my abilities, my feelings, everything about me. And then, okay, now I can share it. I can do this. But yeah, I would tell that to my younger self. Yeah.
Okay, nice. But it's not only the public when you like do something and you get comments, but also like teachers. I mean, you studied this, and then you have teachers who sometimes maybe are kind of harsh to you, and who like they are to you like an idol, and they know what they're doing, and they have so much experience, and then they really maybe put you down as well. You really have to be strong.
Exactly. I had some teachers like that. It's really hard to be able, because it's like when you're growing up and your mom or your dad tells you, oh, you're too fat, you're eating too much, you do this, you're too ugly, or stuff like this. And then these words stick in your head. And if your teacher says, oh, you're not good, then when you're singing, you will hear this voice in your head. Oh, no, but you're not good. And then there is a point where you decide, oh, I do take the comment, or I believe in myself, and I take my own comments. So that thing, this step, it sounds so easy, but it takes a lot of time. Yeah. A lot. So you do have to work hard on that, on just taking everything what everybody says and just putting hit it somewhere and hear yourself more.
Yeah, that's a path and a way to grow, definitely. A lot of work.
Yes, a lot.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, we already talked about what you're currently working on. Well, is there, well, we talked about your current art project. Is there any current singing project that's coming along? Anything you're working on? Anything in the future that we can look forward to?
Yeah, I think I will be singing in the summer a couple of operas. And I am auditioning for some competitions as well.
Ooh.
And we're waiting to see the results. So okay. I'll let you know.
Fingers crossed, thumbs yes! pressed.
Yes! So we'll see.
Very
we'll
nice.
See.
Okay.
But as I said, I would like to do my own thing at a side mm-hmm. and do painting and singing and mm-hmm. do something different on my own.
So very nice.
That's so. My plan.
Very cool. Cool. Okay. Yeah. So where can the listeners or watchers on YouTube can find out more about you? Where can they find you?
Sure. Sure. Well, you can find me on Instagram at Luxana, Luxana dot L-O-Z. Yeah. Luxana is not a Mexican name. It's actually made up. So.
Oh.
So it's
where does it come from?
My great grandfather. Oh. He was super Catholic. He believed there's Virgin of Light. It's a huge deal in Mexico. So La Virgen de la Luz and Light in Latin is Lux.
Mm-hmm.
So Lux Anna.
Mm,
and Anna okay. was the mother oh, nice. Of the Virgin. So yeah, yeah, Luxana. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So
nice. That's a nice story. Very interesting.
Interesting.
Cool.
Yes.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing all of this.
Thank you. Thank you
it
so
was
much.
Very nice. Okay, then thank you so much for watching and for listening. You can find all of the infos about Luxana down in the description. You can find us on Spotify and YouTube. This was the Voices and Visions podcast. If you like it, please subscribe. If you don't like it, please still subscribe. Maybe the next episode has something for you, and support your friendly neighborhood artists. Thank you so much. Yeah!